In the Warren County Radio Bible School, we're studying old Sunday school lessons about the early kings and prophets of Israel, from Samuel to Isaiah. And we're looking at a lesson that E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of July the 3rd, 1927, about Saul being chosen as king. And we're going to return to that lesson in just a moment. You may want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 27. And then in a moment, we're going to go on to chapter 11, verses 12 through 15. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, in the Sunday school lesson, Saul was chosen to be king, and for the most part, the people rejoiced. But it says in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 27 that certain worthless fellows said, "How shall this man save us?" And they despised him and brought him no present, but he held his peace. The Authorized Version, that is, the King James Version, renders this verse this way. But the children of Belial said, "How shall this man save us?" It's the American Revised Version, called the American Standard Version, which translates that word, Belial, as worthless fellows. Belial is not a proper name, but it means worthless, reckless, lawlessness. The opposition of these worthless fellows was not prompted by their loyalty to God and God's order of things. They were lawless and refused to recognize Saul as ruler or king. None today should be more opposed in jealousy and envy to others than they that are really good and loyal to God. Jealousy and envy should not be attributed to faithfulness and loyalty to God. Some have suggested that these worthless fellows were leading men of different tribes, jealous and envious, and not pleased that one of so small a tribe as that of Benjamin was chosen. It says they despised him and brought him no present. That is, they did not acknowledge him as ruler, and offered him no present as a recognition on their part of him as king, and contributed nothing to his support or the support of his government. But he held his peace, or was as though he had been deaf. He was prudent and wise. At least, Saul was at the beginning. He did not at once assume authority or claim his rights as king. But then there came a call to battle. 1 Samuel 11, verses 12 through 15. And the people said unto Samuel, "Who is he that said, 'Shall Saul reign over us? Bring the men, that we may put them to death.'" And Saul said, "There shall not a man be put to death this day. For today Jehovah hath wrought deliverance in Israel." Then Samuel said to the people, "Come, and let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there." And all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before Jehovah in Gilgal. And they offered sacrifices of peace offerings before Jehovah. And there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. You see, it was not long after Saul had been selected king that Nahash the Ammonite encamped against Jabesh-Gilead, the chief city of that country of Gilead, which country was east of the Jordan, to capture it. The men of Jabesh-Gilead, being afraid to risk war with the Ammonites, asked for peace and promised upon any acceptable agreement to serve them. Nahash proposed a very cruel and severe condition of peace, namely, that he be allowed to put out all their right eyes. This was not only a reproach upon them and all Israel, but was to disqualify them for war. The elders of Jabesh-Gilead asked for 7 days respite until they could see if someone could deliver them could be found. And this respite was granted. Saul, having heard of this cruel, reproachful condition of peace, was greatly aroused, and the Spirit of God came mightily upon him. He issued a call to war, and all Israel who responded as one man. This army sent word to the people of Jabesh-Gilead that they should have deliverance by the time the sun was hot in the morning. Concealing this good news, the men of Jabesh-Gilead sent word to their enemies that on the morrow they would submit to the conditions of peace. Saul and his men reached the camp of the Ammonites by daybreak next morning and smote them until the heat of the day, so completely routing them that no two could be found together. When Saul had gained this victory, the people were so rejoiced and so pleased with him that in their enthusiasm they wanted to kill those who said, "Shall Saul reign over us?" But Saul would not allow a man to be put to death. This was to Saul's credit. And so the kingdom was renewed. After this victory, Samuel called all the people to Gilgal to renew the kingdom there. Saul had demonstrated his ability and had showed himself worthy, and Samuel saw that it was a fit time to confirm him as king. This was like the inauguration of a president or the crowning of a king. Then they offered sacrifices of peace offerings before Jehovah, and there Samuel and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. At this time and place, it seems, Samuel had made the speech recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 12. And we're going to be studying that speech in the next Sunday school lesson. Before we get there, there's a couple of poems at the end of this Sunday school lesson, and I don't have who wrote these poems. It simply says they were selected. I think I know who wrote one of them. But let me read this. "I see not a step before me. God hangs a mist o'er mine eyes, and on each step in my forward course he makes new scenes arise, and every joy he sends to me comes as a glad surprise. Perhaps the dreaded future is less bitter than I think, or he may sweeten the waters before I stoop to drink. But if Mara must be Mara, he'll stand beside the brink. Or it may be he has waiting for the coming of my feet some gift of such rare blessedness, some joy so strangely sweet that my lips shall only tremble with the joy they cannot speak. So I go onward, not knowing. I would not if I might. I would rather walk in the dark with God than walk alone in the light. I would rather walk with him by faith than walk alone by sight." And then there's this, and I think this is from Alexander Poe. It says, "Vice is a monster of such fright, of such dreadful mien, that to be hated needs but to be seen. But seen too oft, familiar with his face, we first endure, then pity, then embrace." On the opening page in this little Sunday school book, I find a Sunday school lesson by the Sunday schools of July the 10th, 1927. Samuel's Farewell. The lesson text is 1 Samuel 12, verses 1 through 5, and then we'll skip down and read 19 through 25. 1 Samuel 12, verse 1. "And Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice, and all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my youth unto this day. Here I am. Witness against me before Jehovah and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? And whose ass have I taken? And whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? And of whose hand have I taken a ransom to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it you. And they said, Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, Jehovah is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in mine hand. And they said, He is witness. Now 1 Samuel 12 and verse 19. And all the people said unto Samuel, Pray for thy servants and Jehovah thy God that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, ye have indeed done all this evil. Yet turn not aside from following Jehovah, but serve Jehovah with all your heart, and turn not aside. For then would ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For Jehovah will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased Jehovah to make you a people unto himself. Moreover, as for me, be it far from me that I should sin against Jehovah in ceasing to pray for you, but I will instruct you in all the good and right way. Only fear Jehovah and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. The golden text is Psalm chapter 26, or rather I'll say the 26th Psalm and the third verse. Thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. And the devotional reading is the 26th Psalm. Turning there at this time, we read a Psalm of David. Judge me, O Jehovah, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in Jehovah without wavering. Examine me, O Jehovah, and prove me. Try my heart and my mind, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with men of falsehood, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Jehovah, that I may make the voice of thanksgiving to be heard and tell all thy wondrous works. Jehovah, I love the habitation of thy house and the place where thy glory dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with the men of blood, in whose hand is wickedness, and thy right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me, and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless Jehovah. Now there are some geographical notes for the lesson we're about to come into. It talks about Gilgal again. It was a town about 5 or 6 miles west of the Jordan, and about 1.5 miles, or some say a little further, east of Jericho. The Israelites had not kept the Passover since they left Sinai, and had not observed the rite of circumcision since they left Egypt 40 years before. Here God commanded Joshua to circumcise all the people that were born in the wilderness. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the nation, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And Jehovah said unto Joshua, This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of that place was called Gilgal unto this day. Gilgal means rolling. Well, we'll bring this lesson to a close and continue next class.